Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job. Today, I'm excited to have with us Gary Douglas. Gary is a best-selling author, an international speaker, as well as a sought-after facilitator. He is known for his intensity of awareness and his incredible capacity to facilitate people to know what they know. He chooses to embody consciousness in everything he does, which inspires others to choose to become more conscious as a result. Gary came with an exceptional level of awareness into the Midwest, middle-class, white bread family, and lived the Leave It to Beaver childhood. He has a very different view on life and realized that he was so different from most of the people he knew when he was only 6 years old. He became aware of this difference by watching people create their lives and seeing that none of it was about the joy and the possibilities. It was always about the wrongness of everything. Gary knew that there had to be more than this reality was offering, since there was nothing about it that was magical, joyful, or expansive. So he began seeking deeper awareness to life's mysteries at an early age. Along the way, he uncovered a new way forward, one that would create change in the world and in people's lives. He discovered that magic is all around us. It is something we create. It is consciousness. He recognized the capacity to be more aware and more conscious was every person's gift if they were willing to choose it. Gary has become an internationally recognized thought leader in transforming lives and creating different choices, willing to empower people to see different possibilities and to recognize what is truly possible for them. He believes that if enough people choose to be more aware and more conscious, they will start to see the possibilities of what they have had available to them and change what is occurring here on planet Earth. Gary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that bio. Wow, that's something else. So tell me, how did you go on this journey? Did you always know that you wanted to be a thought leader, or did you take a different career path first?
I tried everything under the sun. I was one of those people who I had, you know, I was a master of all trades and a jack of none. I would literally do everything. I would do everything for 3 weeks and then quit and do something else. And it was, you know, it's like it was just weird, you know. And the thing that occurred when I was six is that, you know, somebody asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, happy. And they go, no, son, want to be when you grow up? Happy. No, son, do you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an Indian chief? I don't care, as long as I'm happy. And that was the
great answer.
Search, you know, because for me, it's like, what do you want to be? I want to be happy. And it's like, and I watched these people be so miserable, so unhappy. And when I was about 10, I took my little sister by the hand and I took her to church every Sunday because I decided that I was, you know, it's like everybody said, God will tell you how to be happy and have everything you want. And so I went to church and I watched all these people glad hand each other on Sunday and then screw each other on Monday. And I went, okay, like this is not where you find the answer either. So I went on the journey to find the answer, only to discover there is no answer. There's only a question.
And what's that question?
Question is, how's it getting better than this?
And so you spent, it sounds like, most of your youth then or young adulthood exploring different ways to be happy. And was happiness something outside of you, or was it an internal thing?
Well, happiness should be an internal thing, but I saw people, you know, getting drunk and disorderly and calling that happy. I saw people, you know, doing extreme sports and saying, I was happy. It's like, it's so interesting to me how often when people talk about happiness, it's not something that's current. It's something that was. It's a past tense. It's not a present tense. And for me, happiness is a present tense. And I, you know, it's like asking that one silly question, how's it getting any better than this, can change all kinds of things. It's just an amazing gift. I had a lady, I was doing class in New York City, and I taught the people, how does it get any better than this whenever they have a good thing happen or a bad thing happen? And she walked out of the class and found a dime in front of the elevator. And she goes, ooh, how's it better than this? And she's walking down the street in New York City, and she sees a $10 bill on the ground. She picks it up, and she goes, how does it get any better than this? She hails a cab because now she can afford a cab to her apartment. And as she's getting out of the cab, she sees something sparkling in the gutter, and she picks it up, and it's a diamond bracelet.
What? Oh, my God. I got chills. That's incredible.
And then she goes, it can't get any better than this. And that was the end of it.
Wow.
You know, you just got to keep asking, how's it get any better than this? And so I've done that in bad situations. You know, how's it get any better than this? And then all of a sudden, a door opens to an easier way of doing things, an easier way of creating things, an easier way of finding things. And it's just amazing. The universe really wants to support us, and we act like it's our enemy. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And we see it both when times are good and when times are bad. When what I noticed in when the economy crashed from 2008 to probably 2015, everybody was like, it's the sky is falling. We're all going to die. This is awful. We're not going to survive this. And now that things are, quote unquote, better again, and we're in recovery or we're doing better, I've noticed that people are still saying, oh, the sky is falling. This isn't fair. That's not fair. And just a lot of blame, which is why I honestly wanted to have you on the show, Gary, is I love the concept right now that your publicist had emailed to me about bullying and about aggressive behavior, because I see it so much with my clients at the law firms I work with job seekers we work with, you know, with kids on the playground. And so I want to get your two cents on, is bullying, the B word that everybody's talking about, is it a thing or is it something that we could prevent? And I would love your thoughts on that.
Well, it's like what prevents it is your point of view. Okay, you have to change your point of view. If you're getting bullied, you have to go, okay, so what can I be or do different that would change this? And I had a little kid who came to one of my classes. And he says, I'm getting bullied at my school and I don't know what to do. And his mother said, yeah, the problem is he's very artistic. And so because he's artistic, the kids are giving him, you know, crap about being too effeminate and too, you know, too female. And I said, okay, so would you like to know how to change this? And he goes, yes. I said, okay, so here's what you do. The next time the bully says to you, you're just a fag. And you say to him, okay, so do you know what vagina tastes like? I do. And he goes, but I don't. I said, come see me at break. I'll tell you so that you can tell him. And it's like, but if you say that to him, he's not going to be able to answer because we know he's not doing it. He's 12 years old. But if you tell him, you know it, and he doesn't, then you're the authority. And that changes the bullying, because the idea of a bully is they have to believe somehow they're better than you. And bullies only try to prove they're better than you. They are never better than you.
Got it. Okay, so if I'm understanding what you're saying, being bullied is an experience that one has when one sees oneself as a victim and doesn't stand up for themselves. Am I hearing that right? Okay. I would love insight on this.
Yes, but it's also the thing of recognizing what's in front of you. And one of the things I always say to people is like, you know, you have to look at people. And there are lots of people out there that are rattlesnakes. Would you pick a rattlesnake up and take it home and go to bed with it? Then why the heck would you be kind to these people? It's a rattlesnake. Treat it like a rattlesnake. And rattlesnakes don't like to be called garter snakes. So if you're trying to be kind to somebody who's a bully, you're not saying you're a rattlesnake. And, I said, well, and they go, but this one is even worse. And I said, well, that person is an evil little funk. You know the real word.
Yeah. Thank you for bleeping yourself. That was perfect. So, okay.
You're totally an elf. You know, and just say, you're an elf. And walk away. And it's like, and the person is acknowledged for being this evil little funk that they are. And the person is acknowledged for being a rattlesnake, and they'll leave you alone. And I had another lady who, her sister took her father and put him in the hospital and wouldn't let her know where he was because she didn't want him being taken out of the hospital. She was trying to control the family. And I said, you call this guy, you call your sister up and you say, if she does it again, you're going to kill her. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to do it today. It doesn't mean you're going to do it tomorrow. It might be 500 lifetimes from now. But if she does it again, you're going to get even with her. I said, when you threaten that, always smile and say it very softly and quietly. And never admit you ever said it. And it was funny because she did it and she says, my sister is afraid of me now. And she does whatever I want. Uh-huh. Now who's the bully? You know, it's like her sister was bullying her and her father. Now she can't bully the father and she can't bully her. Crazy changes. But it's your attitude that, you know, it's like if you think somehow you're less than somebody, then you are less than them. You're not less than anybody, but you are different than everybody. And always be willing to acknowledge your difference and never see the wrongness of you. And another good tool for handling that is what's right about this or what's right about me, I'm not getting. When you think you're wrong, ask those two questions. What's right about this I'm not getting or what's right about me I'm not getting. And in so doing, you change the energy of what's going on and you get to have more awareness.
Okay, got it. I have to say, Gary, I'm a little bit conflicted about what you just said because I was brought up in a family and in a household and from a spiritual standpoint that it's bad or wrong to say hurtful things to other people. And so I'm kind of reconciling that in my own mind as we're talking. And I love it because you're giving me a perspective that I've never heard before, which I always find helps us as human beings to grow and develop. So well, my question is this.
How is it better for you to be hurt by their hurtful than you to say, stop?
I'm getting that as you're talking about it. I'm looking at the last 36 years of programming, you know, from being a baby to now of it's bad, it's wrong to, you know, stand up or to tell somebody that that's not okay. I was always taught, oh, nope, you just put your tail between your legs and you say, no, that's not okay. Or you might say to yourself, it's not okay, but then you might just walk away from the situation rather than confronting the individual or the situation that you're feeling bullied in. Is that right?
Well, it's not even confronting because actually you're just changing your point of view. I'm sorry, this doesn't work for me. You don't get to do that to me. And when you have that point of view, you don't get to do that to me. People stop doing it to you.
What a great thing. And how could somebody apply that? I know that you gave some really great examples, say if you're dealing with a family member or a bully in the schoolyard. For some of our listeners out there, they have the experience, and I get it's a perspective, that their boss or their peer might be bullying them. So how would you recommend, without losing your job, of having a conversation with somebody, especially if it's a boss or a superior, and still being able to have that conversation in an impactful way?
Well, I will admit that there was one lady, she had a boss that was really not nice. And so she said, wow, you're an elf. And the guy smiled and she walked away. And he stopped bullying. He stopped bullying her. She just acknowledged what he was. When you acknowledge people for what they are or how they are, they tend to change. Because ultimately, the real reason people do that stuff is because they want somebody to acknowledge them and see them for who they are. So when you acknowledge somebody as a bully, it changes everything. The little kid who I gave the information about what does a vagina taste like, he went to school and he called me up and he says, oh my God, Gary, it's amazing. The guy used to take my lunch money every day. I didn't even have to say a word and he started giving me my lunch money back.
What? That's incredible.
Yeah, but it's that difference in your point of view. See, point of view creates your reality, not reality creates your point of view.
So I would love your two cents on this, because I don't know if you're familiar with NLP. I think that one of my teachers a long time ago had told me that, say, there's several billion or million bits of information that are coming towards us at any moment. It could be colors, taste, thoughts, smells, etc., and that we're only paying attention to, hypothetically, say a couple thousand of those bits, and that it's our perspective that chooses which of those pieces that we're paying attention to. Is that kind of what you're saying with respect to this?
Sort of, yes, no.
Say that again.
Sort of, yes, no. No, it's like literally my point of view is awareness is what creates everything. And, you know, the whole idea is that we cut off tremendous amounts of our awareness, as they're talking about in NLP. You only, you know, take in certain bites of things. But the reality is, if we started to, you know, be willing to be totally aware, then you'd be asking these four questions. What is this? What do I do with it? Can I change it? And if so, how do I change it? And it's like, then you would be in the question, which empowers the universe to give you the awareness you need to change anything. And it's a little different than what NLP tries to reprogram you. I try to unprogram you from all programming. You know, I'm interested in how do we get deprogrammed out of programming. You know, it's like, and I grew up with, you know, the same kind of family. It was like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I would be really nice to people, and then they'd punch me. And I finally got, okay, this is not working. This sounds really nice, but somehow this is not working. What other choice might I have here? And when I started to look at the other choices I had, I began to get aware of this thing of, okay, what is this? You know, it's like when somebody's bullying you, what is it? Okay, it's their insecurity? No. It's their sense of superiority. It's inflicted on others. So how do you stop infliction? By deflecting or by acknowledgement. So you got a choice. What do you want to create?
Are there any circumstances where, say, for example, you have an elf and you tell the elf that they're an elf? It could be personally, professionally, or otherwise. And the elf still doesn't back down. And if so, how do you handle that particular elf, if we're calling them that? So
it's like if you're in a, in, you know, it's like if you're in a job situation, the easiest way to handle it, it's like, see, it's like what people do when they attack, where they're, you know, they're aggressive and bullying. They're trying to put you on defense. Now, why do they want to put you on defense? Because if you're defending, then you can't be the offense they cannot overcome. So what you could do with them is you got, I'm sorry, I'm confused. Can you help me here? Because if you say, I'm confused, can you please help me? Then they have to defend the point of view they're taking. And they will change their point of view quite rapidly because they don't want to have to defend what they're choosing. They're choosing it because it's a way of abusing you.
So when you say that, so you're saying it's a good idea that to approach somebody then and say, I'm confused, can you help me? That's actually not going to be submissive. That would actually create or elicit the right sort of response that you'd be looking for.
Well, it's like if you come from that point of view, they have to defend what they're doing because you're telling them that what they've done is they've confused you by what they've said to you and that you want to change. Can you help me? But they don't really want to help you. They just want to abuse you. But if you ask for help, then they have to defend their point of view to prove that they're not complete jerks.
Got it. Okay, great. I mean, it's such a eye-opening thing to be speaking with you about this because I feel like the word bully has such a strong connotation right now worldwide. We're seeing it. I know there was that Lululemon incident that had happened relatively recently. And from what you're saying, it has to do with you're 100% responsible for your own consciousness and awareness of how other people occur for you and then shifting that by engaging in conversations that wouldn't have you be a victim, right?
Yeah, and engage into question. Always ask a question. Question empowers people and empowers you. All questions empower, all answers disempower. When you have an answer, and it's like the thing is, a lot of people who bully think they have the answer and they are trying to convince you of the need for you to have the same answer they have. That's going to work. No.
So I'm personally, I'm loving this conversation, Gary, because I had the experience recently, and I am not somebody who normally has the experience of being bullied, and I've been really playing with this concept for myself. In the situation where it occurred for me, and I'm not saying I was bullied, I'm saying it occurred for me, like somebody who was a mentor did bully me in front of a class of people. In that particular situation, I did question the person and I did say, I'm confused. Can you please help me understand where your perspective and where you're coming from? And
you just did what I was talking about.
I did, but here's my question. This is why I'm kind of playing with it and simmering in it right now. When I did that, the person who I was interacting with actually came down on me harder, was my experience, rather than kind of doing the 180 that you're talking about. So that's why for myself personally, I'm curious about what was missing in the way I interacted with that person that could have shifted that dynamic.
Well, the thing is, it's like when people have a fixed point of view, they don't want to change it. But I can guarantee you people who saw that occur put their attention and their awareness and their kindness with you, and he lost all of it.
Got it. Okay. So I hear what you're saying is that there might be times where people could bully you and might not respond in a positive way that we would hope when you counter, like you just said, but it's about realizing that you just can't take it personally and move on.
That's the reason you asked the question, what is this? Is this a personal attack or is this person's necessity to be right? So you have a choice in life. You can be right or you can be free. Rightness is you cannot change your point of view. Freedom is you can always change your point of view.
Got it. I love that.
And it's like his necessity, what was it? Necessity to be right. Then, you know, what do I do with this? Sit here and listen. Can I change it? Yes or no? Oh, yeah, no, because he's so convinced he must be right, he will not give up his point of view.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to the earlier analogy you gave of a rattlesnake, that when you're in a situation like that and you know you're clearly dealing with a rattlesnake, it's probably not in your best interest to continue to play with, hold, cuddle, or do anything remotely with that rattlesnake and to remove yourself from a situation where there is a rattlesnake present.
Yes. Always, you know, and it's like, and since you're a girl, you could have done the real one that would have just messed with him dynamically. You should have burst into tears and run off the stage. Had you done that, that would have just messed with him big time.
Well, it's funny you say that, because if I'm being totally authentic, it was a she and I did break down in tears, and it's very embarrassing for it to even talk about this because I like to think of myself as a strong person who rarely does succumb to anything that would occur as bullying, because I don't believe in victimhood and I believe in being 100% accountable. And I will tell you, crying didn't get me very far either, but it was also a woman. So I think that could have been the dynamic. If it was a guy, it might have been different.
Well, it would have been different with a guy. But the thing about women is, when a woman gets in a position of authority, they always have to be right, because they so many of them believe that the only way that they're going to be equal to a man is to be more right than a man. And so they hold on to the rightness of their point of view beyond all reckoning, beyond anything that has to do with sanity.
Got it. And so if, again, in my case, I was lucky, I was able to remove myself from that person and situation and just choose, like you said, not to take the rattlesnake home with me.
Yeah.
But in other people's situations, say in a business setting, your advice then would be to approach the person, counter it by calling them an elf if they're an elf, see if they respond to that in a powerful way and that they stop elfing you, or whatever verb you would want to use for that. And then if they don't do it, then get curious and ask questions. And finally, if all else fails, leave the position where there's a rattlesnake and leave that job. Would that be your advice?
Leave that job. I mean, it's like, what? You really think there's no other job available for you? You know, it always amazes me. People say, yes, but I need this job. And I go, you might need it, but do you really require it? Do you need to be abused in order to have a job? And, you know, it's like work should be something you love, not something you hate going to.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's so important is I see so many people that spend their whole lives miserable, whether it's for the type of work they're doing or a particular individual. And I think it is important for people to hear that, that it is okay to leave a job. And, you know, your happiness does, it doesn't have to come at a price. Like you said earlier, this all began with a conversation around happiness.
Yeah. And it's like, for me, it's like, I used to, you know, it's like people would do that with me and I go, okay, I quit. And they go, what do you mean you quit? I said, I quit. I'm not eating shit here. You know, I didn't take this job so you could, you know, feed me shit. I came here because I thought you were intelligent. I thought you were brilliant. And I thought I could learn from you. But you giving me garbage all the time is not what I came for. I'm gone. And then they want you back instantaneously.
God, I love that. Where were you 2 weeks ago when I needed you? But it was very apropos that we had already had you scheduled to be on this show today. So it kind of worked out fortuitously. So tell our listeners a little bit about the consciousness aspect, because I think in addition to the bullying and the happiness topics that we've been touching on, are there any other tips that you would recommend to our listeners out there to help bring greater awareness or consciousness to what how they live their lives?
Well, consciousness includes everything and judges nothing. So it's like, if you don't judge that this person is being mean, then you have less likelihood that you will, you know, just eat crap and move on. You know, it's like you have a tendency when you are in that position of thinking you have to have no choice but to eat shit, to eat shit. Well, it's like you don't have to. You got to look at it and go, okay, so what is this? This is this person's need to prove how great they are. I just realized how ungreat you actually are. Thank you so much for sharing your stupidity.
Oh, I wish I could carry you around in my pocket, Gary.
Ask my mouth anytime you want to say something you don't think you want to say. And yeah, I'll show up. I'll be coming out of your mouth and you'll be going, whoa, that's weird.
Yeah, where did that come from? So I think that's great. So you're saying it's about not, if I think, if it occurs to me that somebody is being quote unquote mean to me, then I've just given my power away because I've just said, oh, I have to, as you put it, eat shit versus if I don't allow it to occur as being mean to me in the first place and I don't take it a personal way. The Four Agreements was one of my favorite books years ago. And I think he talks about not taking anything personally, which is easier said than done. Are there any exercises that you can give people to practice not taking it personally?
What is this? What do I do with this? Can I change?
Hold on. I'm going to write those down, Gary. I'm going to have to go back and listen to this again.
You know, it's like, what is this? You know, it's like when people come after you, it's like, what is this? It's like at one time I was doing an entrepreneur's class and it's like this guy had a group in LA and a group in Santa Barbara. And I was trying to find a way to get the two groups together because all the people that were in the Santa Barbara group were really wonderful people. And all the people I've met in LA were really wonderful people too. And I thought it would be great for them to be able to interact and contributing to this guy. So I came up with this idea of having this party. And so I started to create the party, but I wasn't getting any help from people. And I went, okay, so, you know, I asked him, I said, so what am I doing here? Or what should I be doing different that I'm not recognizing? And he stood up and he says, you're trying to do this on my name. You're trying to self-aggrandize by doing this for, you know, and using my name to make you important. I looked at that and I went, wow, that is so not true. His accusation was how he functioned. People accuse you of what they themselves are doing. And you got to get that. And when somebody accuses you, okay, where is this person doing this? Not what's wrong with me. And it's like, and we've been taught to go, what's wrong with me? We've been taught to look at it from, I'm wrong, I'm terrible, I'm not a good person. They wouldn't do this to me if I was good. Problem is, the elf and the rattlesnake will do it to anybody because they can. And it's not because they had a bad childhood. It's not because their parents were mean. It's not any of that. It's because they can. Now, one time I had a lady who wrote me a letter with 8 pages, single type, double sided, of judgments about me. I said, do you want to handle these judgments? And I said, and she said, no, I'm just waiting for you to change. And I said, ain't going to happen, lady. Get lost. Because, you know, it's like, and I asked my business partner, I said, what did I do? It's like, what did I miss here? It's like, I didn't realize this lady was so judgmental. And it's like, and she was just a walking, talking judgment at every moment. And she did it to me and everybody else she came in contact with. People that had been her best friends for 8 years, she would eviscerate them with her judgments for no apparent reason. And there was no real reason. She just did it because she could. And I got, some people are just mean. And you got to know that some people are just mean. You know, it's like, and if you have a mean dog, you put it on a chain. If you have a mean person, you don't get to chain them up, darn it.
I know. And I think that's why the work that you're doing and this conversation is so important to have, because sometimes I was that jerk. It was funny, actually, my chiropractor, shortly after the incident had happened with me, my chiropractor is just this brilliant guy who's also very spiritual and enlightened. And I said to him, you know, please, you know, I would love your feedback on the situation. And he said to me, Jen, have you ever in your life spoken to anybody the way she spoke to you, publicly or privately? And Gary, I had to pause. I looked back and I was pretty much a dick between when I was about 15 to maybe 23 years old. And yeah, I caused a lot of harm.
That's just called hormones.
True that. Yes, true that. Being a teenage girl does like involve a lot of hormones.
15 to 23 is the worst time of a woman's life. Okay. My daughters from 15 to 23 were hideous to me. After they got to 23, they started to realize I wasn't as stupid as they had decided I really was.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I still feel like I'm paying penance for, you know, the way I treated my mom, my dad, and many other people. To anybody out there listening, I do apologize for anybody I interacted with in a hurtful or disempowering way. But what my chiropractor said that gave me at least a different perspective, like you said, a different point of view, is he said, Jen, will you ever speak to somebody like that again, now knowing what it was like for you to be on the receiving end of that? And I said, no, I actually have greater compassion now for anybody that I did ever speak to that way in the past. And it definitely opened my eyes up and shifted my point of view, as you said.
Well, you mean you got more conscious?
Oh my gosh, Gary, we just brought it full circle. Yes, that is exactly what happened. That was a total accident for all of our listeners out there. It was just very perfect how it all kind of came together. So Gary, I know it's, you know, your time is valuable. We've been so grateful to have you on the show. And I want to make sure that if our listeners want to attend one of your seminars, buy one of your books, that they know where to find you. Where would our listeners be able to connect with you, find you, hire you, etc.?
They can check on accessconsciousness.com, and we're in 176 different countries now. I have something like 26 different books. We have all kinds of free stuff out there for people to do so that they don't have to buy a book or do anything. They can just check it out on that basis. And my business partner is Dane here, and he has a blog, and I'm going to have to ask
DrDaneHere.com.
DrDaneHere.com. And he has all kinds of free videos and stuff he does all the time. And he has a tour of consciousness he does, all of which are designed to help you in your day-to-day life to have greater consciousness and greater possibility. And please recognize that an answer disempowers you and everybody else. The question empowers you and the universe to give you the awareness you desire.
Yeah, Gary, you've given our listeners so much wonderful thoughts and things to feedback and things to consider. So remember, again, it's Access Consciousness, and the show will be available for download immediately after we wrap up. And that's on the archive section of the LA Talk Radio website, and will be available later this week for download on iTunes. So as always, we invite you to find us at Get Yourself the Job on iTunes, Don't hesitate to review us, leave us any feedback. Our guests always appreciate that, and you can tune in and listen anytime at your leisure on iTunes, as well as interact with us on Facebook on our Get Yourself the Job page on Facebook. So tune in next week as we interview Julie Dederer about how to invent the next 30 years of your life. And this show is specifically designed for people who are approaching retirement or thinking about retiring and looking at what's life going to be like for you after retirement. What could you create and invent next? So thank you again, Gary. I hope you have a safe rest of your trip in Tokyo, and thank you for joining us today. And again, tune in next week, Monday at 4 p.m. to Get Yourself the Job.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.